Amen. Let's open God's Word this morning to the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at just a few verses in chapter 1 and also in chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and then just a page or so over, we'll look at some verses in chapter 3. And I've given the message this morning this title, The Heart of the Home. The heart of the home. A godly mother, godly wife, is really the heart of a Christian home. God's design for the home is that the husband and the father be the spiritual head of the home. It's ultimately his responsibility to make sure that his family is spiritually secure and to be the spiritual leader in the home. But for a Christian home to be all that God intends for it to be, there must also be the wife. God's purpose in marriage, of course, is that one man be married to one woman for one lifetime. And so the wife in the home and the mother in the home is really the heart of the home. When her heart is fully devoted to her family and to the Lord, it makes all the difference in the world. And in today's text, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 here in chapter 1. In this text, we see that two women are honored, a godly grandmother and then a godly mother. And we're going to see what the Scripture has to say about them. Why were they honored? What is it about their lives that they're being honored here by having their names mentioned in the Bible? And so we'll see that in our text this morning. Let's start in verse 3. Paul is writing here to Timothy, and you recall that Timothy was his understudy. Timothy was the one that Paul was really preparing for the future that he would take over after he moved off the scene. And at the time that Paul is writing this, that is very imminent. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Paul was really at the end of his life. This is the last letter that he ever wrote. All of those letters in the New Testament. And here's the final swan song, we might say, of the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to encourage Timothy, to bolster him, and really to say, you know, the time is coming for the torch to be passed to you, and you're going to need to be at your full strength to do all that God will have for you in the days ahead. So let's start in verse 3 and read through verse 5. Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, and here's what we want to come to, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And then if you'll turn over to chapter 3 and look beginning in verse 14, Paul again here instructing Timothy, and he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now just a page or so over in chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And so his whole purpose in writing this book was to, this letter was to just to encourage Timothy and to tell him the kinds of things that he needs to be thinking about as he prepares to take over that ministry. Paul had said about Timothy on one occasion in the book of Philippians, he says, I've got nobody else like him. He told the Philippians, there's nobody else that I could send to you that would have the mindset that I would want him to have. And so he thought the world of Timothy. He thought of the world of him. A lot of times we talk about the shortcomings that Timothy had. He seemed to be a little bit meek and timid at times, and he had some other shortcomings, but whatever his shortcomings were, Paul thought of him as the best that he had to take over his ministry. And he reminds Timothy of that throughout this book. And here in this first chapter, the verses that we read there, he honors these two women. Eunice, who was the mother, and then Lois, who was the grandmother. And so I want us to see what it was that they were particularly singled out for, and why they were honored in this way, and what kind of impact they had in the life of Timothy. And I want to just give you two words today that will summarize these thoughts. The first one is the word sincerity. Sincerity. And it's right there in verse 5. Paul tells Timothy, says, "I thank God on every remembrance of you." And when I call to remembrance, he says, "the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." This genuine faith. Paul saw it in Timothy, but he recognized that prior to Timothy, it was first in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. There was a sincere faith. There was a genuine faith. That word genuine, of course, means real. It just means what's real. The word in the old King James Version is really a very accurate word that's there. And it's the word unfeigned. It just means that it's not fake or phony. The Greek word carries with it the idea of being unhypocritical, without hypocrisy. They were not play-acting. They were not playing a role. They were not just playing a part when they were in church, but there was something genuine about their faith that when Timothy was in the home, whether it was in the home with his grandmother or whether it was in the home with his mother, he knew that what they had, the faith that they had, was real. And it was not something that was being put on or something that was just in front of the people at church, but it was real in the home. You know, you can't underestimate the value of that. First of all, on the counter side, you can't underestimate the damage that's done when it's not real. And a lot of homes today, even in Christian homes, one of the reasons that there are problems in the succeeding generation, not always, and I want to hasten to say that, not always. Sometimes parents do everything that they can do. They do everything that they know to do. And things don't always work out. But many times, the problem is that the children see that what the parents put on Sunday is not what they live out the rest of the week. It can be very damaging. But what a blessing it is for a young heart and for a young child to see the mother in the home that has a sincere faith, that has a genuine faith, and it's lived out in the home. The same person that she is, and the father too, the same people that they are in the home is the same people that they are in front of their Christian friends at church and in other places. And I got to say on this Mother's Day that I was very blessed. I was very blessed to have a mother who, there was no doubt in my heart, from the time I was old enough to know about my mother's faith, I knew that it was real. I knew that it was genuine. Sometimes me and my brother would be playing somewhere else in the house, you know, maybe off in our room or in the den or somewhere. And suddenly a sound would come from the kitchen. My mom would be in there working. She'd be maybe doing the dishes or maybe preparing a meal or doing something like that. And all of a sudden there would come a sweet sound of a melody coming from the kitchen. And it made such an impression on me. Sometimes she would sing this. Here's an old song that you'll remember. She would sing, "There's with..." I'm not going to sing it. Don't get nervous. You'll remember these words. "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow." Or maybe she would sing this. This was one of her favorites. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I." You don't think that made an impact on a little heart? A little mind? You know, it wasn't very long after I was old enough to recognize the words that my mom was singing, I realized that I was a sinner, sinking deep in sin. And I needed rescuing, even as a little child. Grandparents have a great role to play as well. I was blessed with two godly grandmothers. My dad's mom, Grandma Meredith, we called her, she taught a Sunday school class at West Lawn Baptist Church. And she loved to teach. Many times I would go over. She had Parkinson's disease the later years of her life. And I would go visit her, and she would have her study materials out in front of her, and she would be preparing for her class. And she, as I would sit there and talk with her, she couldn't really get up out of her rocking chair, but she would just sit there and rock, and she would tell me about her Sunday school class and about the people that would be coming to that class and how she would pray for them and how she would be prepared to teach them on Sunday. And they loved her. They really loved her. They loved to come and hear her teach. And my mom's mom, I've told you before, she's the one that took me just as a little child. She would take me up in her lap, and she's the one that taught me John 3:16. I mean, we would work on it. We would actually spend time working on it. I wanted to go play, but Grandma said, "No, you're going to sit on my knee. You're going to learn John 3:16." And so I did. And what a blessing it was to have those kind of godly women in my life. What a difference it made in my life. My Grandma Meredith, when I went to her finally, I was 19 years old, to tell her I'd been called to preach, she said, "Paul, I knew this day was coming." She knew it maybe before I did. It's wonderful to have godly mother, godly grandmother. And it's so important, the genuineness of life that's lived out in the home. And so I would just say to us all today, first of all, make sure that you have a genuine faith. Don't assume that you do. Examine yourself. Do you have a real faith that has been given to you by God, that you have expressed that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you have, then live it out. Be yourself. Be your real self. Be who you are in Christ, in your home and in front of your children. And so first of all, sincerity. And if you've had a mom that was like that, if you had a mom who was real and genuine, then praise the Lord for her. And what a cause of rejoicing it ought to be today in our hearts. Secondly, let's turn over to chapter 3. And if you look in verses 14 and 15, second word I want to give you is not only sincerity, but the word Scripture. Here in verses 14 and 15, Paul tells Timothy something very interesting here. He says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." That word continued. You must continue. In our study in the book of Acts, and one of the things that I have noticed lately is really very interesting, is that our study in Acts and our study in Philippians and Brother Fred's teaching in the book of Galatians, there's just so many things where they intersect and cross that if you're in all three times, you're just learning things that just all fit together so wonderfully and so beautifully. But in Acts, we saw where it was said about the early church that they continued. There were some things that they were steadfast in and that they continued in. And Paul is writing to Timothy here, and you know, you might would have thought he would say something like, "Timothy, you're going to have to do better. You're going to have to come up with some more ingenious ideas about how to lead the church and about how to do the things that you're going to have to do." But that's not what he tells him. What is he telling? He tells him to stick with what you know and what you've been doing. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Just continue in the Word of God. And he says there in verse 15 that from childhood, and here's where the mother and the grandmother, I believe, again come into the picture. From childhood, he says, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." And oh, how we ought to teach little children the Scripture. While their hearts are tender, and while their minds are nimble, and they can memorize Scripture, and while they can learn the stories of the Bible, and while we can teach them the things of God in our home, how good it is to bring them to Sunday school and to church. But how wonderful it is if they see that mom and dad really mean it because they teach it to us in the home. It says there that the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Scripture says this. It says, "We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." And folks, what we need to be doing in our homes is we need to be planting seed. We need to be planting the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lasts forever, because that you never know. You know, even beyond our lifetime, you never know the impact that that might have on our children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. If you plant those seed, most likely there will be a harvest of salvation. Now, I want to hasten to say this, that in all of this, we're totally dependent upon God. It's by His grace and mercy that any child is saved. A parent can plant the seed, they can water, but it is God who gives the increase. But I just say for us today, as we worship the Lord here today, you know, our focus being on God, we ought to thank God. If we had a mom and a dad who would plant those seed in our lives, that it helped bring us to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be sincere. The sincerity that's required of a woman whose heart is in her home. Her heart is given to her husband and to her children. And her heart is first and foremost in her home. We live in a day where that is discounted by the world. Women today, if they put their family first and their career second, they think something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's what the world thinks. And so we need to emphasize it. We need to make it certain amongst us as God's people that that's the way God intended for it to be. I'd like you to turn, as we close out, turn over to the book of Proverbs. And I'd like you to look in chapter 31, right at the end of the chapter. Of course, this is the great chapter, the Proverbs 31 woman. The verses that I read from 1 Timothy in this chapter here in Proverbs 31 are probably the most preached from sections of Scripture on Mother's Day across the nation today. But right at the end of the chapter, there are some things said that I believe ought to be an encouragement to every godly mother who's here. Sometimes you wonder if there's any fruit for your labor, if there's any answer to your prayers, if there's any hope in the future for your children. This great description of the Proverbs 31 woman, starting in verse 26, it begins to come to a conclusion. And I just want to read these verses. And just let it sink into our hearts. God's view. The world may not value a godly mother who is the heart of her home spiritually, but God does. And it says here, she opens, in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The only way she can open her mouth with wisdom is if she knows the Word of God. Mankind has no wisdom. Womankind has no wisdom of its own. It's only the wisdom of God that makes a difference. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And in this great verse, verse 30, it says, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And how we ought to be thankful that we've had godly women in our lives that have helped us along the way. I want to say this, just finally. Not everyone has had a godly mother. Not everyone has had a mother that has been like what we've described today. And there are no perfect parents. No parent who doesn't have some regrets along the way. But what I can say is this. God can give grace. He specializes in taking our shortcomings and our failures. And in those things, He shows Himself mighty. David in the Psalm said this. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." Goes on to say in another chapter, it says, "He is merciful and gracious," speaking of God, "slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." And so if we feel like there's been times in our life where we weren't all that we should have been as parents, what can we do? We can go to our God, who is a gracious and merciful God. We can call on Him. We can pray to Him. And here's what God says about that, and I leave you with this. He says, "Call to Me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Sometimes after the years have gone by, all we can really do is go to God and ask Him to intervene, ask Him to show Himself mighty, even in our times of failure. Ladies that are here today, you godly women that are here today, again, we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you mean in your family, but we appreciate what you mean in this church as well.